আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। বিসমিল্লাহির রহমানির রহিম। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়া উসাল্লি ওয়া উসাল্লিমু আলা আশরাফিল আমবিয়া ওয়াল মুরসালিন নাবিয়িনা ওয়া হাবিবিনা ওয়া কুররাতি আয়ুনিনা মুহাম্মদ ইবনে আব্দুল্লাহ আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি আফদালুস সালাতি ওয়া আতামুত তাসলিম আম্মা বা'দ। অল প্রেইজ এন্ড থ্যাঙ্কস বি টু অলমাইটি আল্লাহ সুবহানাহু ওয়া তাআলা, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we warmly welcome this blessed month of Ramadan in the year 1436 Hijri. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all make the very best out of this month. And may He azza wa jal help us to attain His pleasure and His forgiveness. Ameen. And then we thank Allah azza wa jal for blessing us all with this opportunity to sit in one of His beautiful houses and to discuss stories of the greatest of all individuals to have ever walked on the face of this earth, the Anbiya, the Prophets alayhim salatu wassalam. But mind you, these stories are not to keep us entertained and amused until the time for iftar approaches, but rather these stories are for us to ponder and reflect, for us to derive lessons from. Like our Maker states in the Noble Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. There was certainly in their stories lessons for those of understanding, for the people who have understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Never was the Qur'an a narration invented. The Qur'an isn't something that has been forged. Allahu Akbar. The Quran has never been invented. وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. But rather, it is a confirmation of what was before it and a detailed explanation of all things, the Quran. So these stories that we are going to narrate unto you, inshallah ta'ala, are stories derived from the Quran as well as the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, before we begin the story of our father, Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, there are a few points that I wish to touch on and elaborate, inshallah ta'ala. Starting off with, what was the total number of prophets alayhi salatu wassalam? Can I lift this up a bit? Fine now? What was the total number of prophets alayhim salatu wasalam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the face of this earth? Now, the number of prophets that were mentioned in the Quran, the number of prophets that have been mentioned in the Quran are 25 in number. The number of the prophets alayhim salatu wasalam that are mentioned in the Quran are 25. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions almost 18 of them in this particular ayah. وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَى قَوْمِهِ نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَّن نَّشَاءُ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ كُلًّا هَدَيْنَا وَنُوحًا هَدَيْنَا مِن قَبْلُ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِهِ دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ. داود وسليمان وأيوب ويوسف وموسى وهارون وكذلك نجزي المحسنين وزكريا ويحيى وعيسى وإلياس كل من الصالحين وإسماعيل واليسع ويونس ولوطا وكلا فضلنا على العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions 18 of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in this particular ayah. Starting off with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya'qub, Nuh, Dawood, Sulaiman, Ayyub, Yusuf, Musa, Harun, Zakariya, Yahya, Isa, Ilyas, Ismail, Al-Yasa, Yunus, and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions 18 of them in this particular ayah. And the remaining are Idris, Hud, Shu'aib, Salih, Dhul-Kifl, Adam, alayhi salatu wa salam, and our beloved Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. 25 of them are mentioned in the Noble Quran. And according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which has been recorded in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he asks him, Ya Rasulullah, kam adadul rusul? How many prophets were there, all of them in total? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then clarifies, هُمْ مِئَةٌ وَعِشْرُونَ أَلْفًا. There were 120,000 of them. There were 120,000 prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam. So from this we understand that there were a great number of prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam who were sent to the face of this earth by Allah Azza wa Jal. Now moving on to the next point of discussion, what is the difference between a Rasul and a Nabi? I'm sure you must have come across these two terms, Nabi, Rasul. What is the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul? Now scholars, rahimahumullah, have given different opinions in this regard, starting off with that a Rasul is an individual whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a new legislation, a new revelation, a new legislation. Whilst a Nabi is a prophet who is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but is not given a new legislation. Instead, he comes and he follows up with the previous prophet who was sent with a new legislation. A good example to cite here is the two individuals, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a Rasul. He was a messenger given a new legislation, Torah. Whilst Harun alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi because he wasn't given a new legislation. Instead, he was following up on the legislation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And other scholars have explained stating that the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul is that a Rasul is commanded to convey the message. Iblagh. He is commanded to convey the message. Whilst a Nabi is not commanded, in the sense it's not obligatory upon him to convey the message. But a Rasul, it is obligatory upon him to convey the message. Finally, I leave you all with, in this regard, in this particular regard, with the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, which I favor, because it seems to be a stronger opinion. He states that the difference between a Rasul and a Nabi is that a Rasul is sent to a disbelieving nation, to Kuffar, Qawmun Kafirun, to a disbelieving nation, whilst a Nabi is sent to a believing nation, a believing nation. Say for example, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. What do you think? Was he a Rasul or a Nabi? Nabi, Jazakumullah khair. He was a Nabi. The reason being, he was the first of all mankind and he was sent to the face of this earth. It was just him and our mother, Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. And afterwards, the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam were all born upon the fitrah. They were all believers. They were all born upon the fitrah. So he, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, was a Nabi and not a Rasul. Moving on to the next point very swiftly. Are all of the prophets infallible? Are they free from mistakes? Are the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam free from mistakes? Yes, indeed, they are free from mistakes. Alayhimu salatu wasalam. They are free from mistakes in carrying out their mission. They are free from mistakes in conveying the message. They are free from falling into major sins. They are free from falling into kufr, into shirk, and all of these major sins. They are free from all of that. They're infallible. They're free of mistakes. But as for minor sins, as for minor mistakes, there are scholars who state that the prophets are not free from them due to certain incidents that have taken place. They put forward evidence and they state, due to certain incidents that have taken place, the prophets والسلام, are not free from minor mistakes. A few of the examples. Adam والسلام, eating from the tree that he was forbidden to eat from. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. This particular incident is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu mentions this particular incident. There were two ladies, there were two women who had two children, two boys, two sons. And these two boys looked very identical. One day, a wolf came in and took one boy away. One of the boys. Now the two ladies, the two women were having a dispute in regard to the remaining son, saying that one lady was saying, he is my son, and the other lady was saying, no, he is my son. The wolf took your son and went away, whereas the other lady was saying, no, the wolf took your son and went away, this is my son. Now there was a dispute, an argument, and they took it to Sulaiman, they took it to Dawood, alayhi salatu wasalam, to get a judgment in this regard. Now when they went to Dawood, alayhi salatu wasalam, and put forward the case, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he considered and he ruled, stating that the boy belongs to the older of the two women. This is the incident that took place. They were not happy with the judgment. They went to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, and they put forward the case once again. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he called for a knife, a huge knife. He told the two ladies, look, it looks like we can't solve the problem. So let's cut the boy into two. You take half, Equal judgment, right? We'll cut the boy into two, and you take half. The minute he said that, now in whose favor did Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam rule? The older woman, all right? Now here when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said this, the younger woman, she cried out, La yarhamuk Allah. Now may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be upon you. This boy belongs to the older woman. Let her have him. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam immediately ruled, saying, the boy belongs to the younger woman. Why? Because the true mother would not want her child to die. She would rather forego her child and let her child live, because she loves her child. But when he said, when he ordered for the child to be cut up, the older lady kept quiet. She just kept quiet, because there was no true love for that child in her heart. But the younger lady, the real mother, she immediately said, La irhamuk Allah. No, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be upon you. Don't cut the child. Let her have the child. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam ruled in favor of the younger woman. So, you know, incidents of this nature made the scholars, rahimahumullah, state that Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam are not free from minor mistakes. But as for the major ones, the ones that we mentioned, they are free and they are infallible, alayhi salatu wasalam. The next point is in regard to the rank and honor of the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. In regard to their rank and honor, the stance of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is always a moderate stance. We love them, we respect them, we honor them, we follow them, the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, but we don't take it to the extreme, like just as how the Christians did, where they claim that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus, the Son of God. They said that he is the Son of God. Or we don't take it to the extreme where we start worshipping the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. We love them, we respect them, we honor them, but we maintain the fact that they are the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. We don't worship them, we don't venerate them to the extent that we start calling them sons of God, etc. We don't go to that extreme, nor do we go to the other extreme where we start disgracing them, where we start putting them down, humiliating them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Now, in regard to a few special characteristics that were bestowed upon the Prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam, number one is wahi, divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was something specially for the Prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam. You and I, do we get wahi? Do we get any wahi coming down? No. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the noble Quran, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ, that we inspired the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to do certain things. In another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَأَوْحَىٰ رَبُّكَ إِلَىٰ النَّحْلِ, that Allah azza wa jal revealed unto the bee. Now, are these ayat conflicting in any way? No. Now, these ayat are talking about ilham, inspiration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to do certain things. Allah azza wa jal inspired the bee to do certain things. But as for divine revelation, wahi shar'i, divine revelation, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam alone. Next special characteristic is that the eyes of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam sleep, but their hearts do not sleep. Their eyes sleep, but their hearts do not sleep. The next special characteristic is that they are given a choice at the time of death. The anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are given a choice at the time of death. In the sense, do you want to remain in this world or do you want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They're generally given a choice. When you look at the last moments of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, towards the end, he started saying, Bali al-Rafiq al-A'la, Bali al-Rafiq al-A'la, rather the higher companion, rather the higher companion, indicating that he wanted to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at a particular narration where Adam alayhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam was given 1,000 years to live on the face of this earth, 1,000 years. And then when the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam were shown to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam were shown to him, on that particular day, he saw a weak child of his, a weak child of his, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is this individual? And it was said to him, this is Dawood. This is Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, how long is the lifespan of this individual, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam? How long is the lifespan of this individual? Allah azza wa jal informed Adam alayhi salatu wasalam that he will live for 60 years. 60 years. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam then said, Ya Allah, give him 40 years of my life. Now he has 1,000. He has 1,000 years. So give him 40 years of my life, make it 100 for him. So Allah Azza wa Jal answered the dua of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. 40 years were given to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam to complete 100. Now time passes. Time passes. 960 years of the life of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam passes. And at the appointed time and date, Malakul Maut comes. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam looks at Malakul Maut and says, what's up? Why have you come? Malakul Maut says, it is time to take your soul. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam says, no, I have got 1,000 years. I've got another 40 years remaining. Then Malakul Maut reminds Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Adam, don't you remember you gave 40 years to your son Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam? And Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, because obviously it's a long period, it is a long period, 960 years. He had completely forgotten about it. He said, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. And in that particular narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on to say that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the first one to deny, and hence the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam all deny. We all deny. Don't we deny? We have so many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet we deny. We see so many things, so many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us, yet we deny. We deny because we are weaklings. We are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal protect us all. The next special characteristic is that they are buried where they pass away. If you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was buried where he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. The next special characteristic is that their bodies, the ajsamul anbiya, the bodies of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam do not decay. The bodies of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam do not decay. They do not rot and decay. If we were able to open a grave of a prophet, it is not permissible. It is completely haram due to the sanctity and due to the respect that we have for the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But if it was possible for us to open a grave of a prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we would find their bodies intact. Intact, just the way it was. Because the earth does not consume bodies of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. On the other hand, you and I, our bodies, the minute it goes in, starts to rot and decay. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of our kubur gardens from the gardens of paradise. Ameen. The next special characteristic is that nothing can be inherited from the prophets alayhim salatu wasalam. If they leave behind something, I'm talking about materialistic possessions, if they leave behind some wealth, some money, some possessions, it has to be given in sadaqah. Nothing can be inherited from the prophets, from the anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. The only thing that can be inherited from them is al-ilm, knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. The knowledgeable ones, the ones who have knowledge, are the inheritors of the prophets alayhim salatu wasalam. We only inherit knowledge from them, anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. So having said that, the special characteristics are over. The points that I wanted to highlight are alhamdulillah covered. Now we move on to the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam begins with the creation of the heavens and the earth. Now just a point that I wish to highlight in regard to this series, I will be referring to most of the time, I will be referring to the famous book Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, the beginning and the end of Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, the famous student of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he begins the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam with the creation of the heavens and the earth. Very interesting. Now these are things that no scientist can tell you. These are things, we were not even present at that time. We were not even existing at that time. So it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has to tell us in regard to what happened at that time. Allah azza wa jal, he states,
وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو معكم أينما كنتم والله بما تعملون بصير.
هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created the heavens and the earth fi sittati ayyam, in 6 days. Thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh, and then he azza wa jal ascended the throne in a manner that befits his majesty and glory kama yaliqu bi sha'nihi wa jalali. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu an, he states in regard to this ayah, khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard fi sittati ayyam, in 6 days, that every single day from those 6 days, each and every day was equivalent to 1,000 years. Allahu Akbar. 1,000 years. So 6,000 years of our time, but 6 days of the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. Now what was the first thing to be created? Was it planet Earth, Pluto, Saturn, Jupiter? What was the first thing to be created? Ubadah ibn Sabit radiyallahu anhu, he states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "Inna awwala ma khalaqa Allah al-qalam." That indeed the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the pen, and then Allah azza wa jal commanded the pen, "Uktub," write. And the pen wrote, "Fajara bima huwa ka'inun ila yawm al-qiyamah." The pen started to write and it wrote every single thing that is to take place until the day of Qiyamah. Until the day of Qiyamah. Now this is part of our belief in Al-Qadr. In Al-Qadr. In the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the pillars of Al-Qadr is that we must believe in Al-Kitabah, that everything has been written. That every single thing has been written. And when was this written? 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Allahu Akbar. You know, this empowers a believer so much. Do you know that on this particular day, The month of Ramadan, the first day of Ramadan, you are all seated in Masjid An-Nur. I am here with you all. I'm wearing white, you're wearing blue, you're wearing purple perhaps, white, black, grey. We're seated at, what's the time, 4:30 p.m. All of this was written when? 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. SubhanAllah. Just mind-blowing when you think of it. What you are going to have for iftar, what do you have for iftar here? I'm making you hungry, is it? What you're going to have for iftar, yeah, was written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Which masjid you are planning to go for Salatul Taraweeh was written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. What you will have for suhoor tomorrow, inshallah, was written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Uktub, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the pen, and the pen wrote every single thing until the day of Qiyamah. Now there is another narration that states, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِكِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote down the taqdeer, the qadr, the divine decree of all of His creation, before creating the heavens and the earth, 50,000 years before creating the heavens and the earth, وَعَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَا, whilst His arsh was upon water. Whilst His arsh was upon water. So from this, scholars rahimahumullah state that in reality, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the first thing to be created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the pen, and then the heavens and the earth. First the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the pen, and then the heavens and the earth. This is something that the scholars have differed upon. This is one particular opinion I shared with you. Now, moving on a little in regard to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something known as the kursi? Kursi. Generally, people translate the kursi as the throne. Ayatul kursi, people translate it as verse of the throne. Verse of the throne. But in reality, kursi is not the throne. Arsh is the throne. The arsh is the throne. So we need to understand that arsh is one thing and the kursi is something else. The kursi is something else. So the arsh is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kursi is the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kursi is the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one particular narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, in regard to the comparison between the arsh and the kursi, that if you were to take a huge, vast desert, a huge desert, a barren desert, and if there were a tiny ring in the middle of the desert, a tiny iron ring, what is the comparison between that ring and that vast desert? It's like a needle in a haystack, the tiny ring in the middle of the desert. That is the comparison between the seven heavens and the earth with the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the desert, and the ring is like the seven heavens and the earth. Allahu Akbar. And then once again, when you compare the kursi with the arsh, now the kursi becomes that tiny ring, and the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the vast desert. Allahu Akbar. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Azza wa Jal. He is the most greatest, Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. This is the comparison. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the ayah I read earlier, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Not kursi. He created the heavens and the earth, and then He ascended His throne. He ascended the throne. How did He ascend? That's not something that we need to ask. كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِشَأْنِهِ وَجَلَالِهِ, in a manner that befits His majesty and glory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascended the throne. Now in regard to the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens, the earth, and now the angels. The angels are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to do. Their iman is stationary, it does not move. It does not rise, nor does it drop. Now our iman, you and I, our iman, it rises, it drops. During the month of Ramadan, it is up there, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep it up there. But after Ramadan, it tends to drop. This is our iman. The iman of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are not stationary, not rising, dropping. Instead, it keeps on rising, 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 rising. The iman of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So coming back to the angels, there is something known as Baytul Ma'mur in the heavens. Just like we have the Kaaba on the face of this earth, there is a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens known as Baytul Ma'mur. Every single day, 70,000 angels pray at Baytul Ma'mur and they enter it and never come out again. Every single day, 70,000 angels. So you can just imagine the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one knows the number of the angels, the malaika. No one knows in regard to the forces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal. Now coming to planet Earth. What was life on Earth before mankind? Who populated planet Earth before mankind? There is one particular opinion that no one populated planet Earth before mankind. But that is a weak opinion. The stronger opinion is that the jinn populated planet Earth before mankind. And from the jinn was an individual by the name Azazil. When the angels, we will discuss inshallah, he is later to be known as Iblis, Shaitan. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from him. Ameen. Now, in regard to the jinn, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, in this particular book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, he states that there was another creation as well, known as Bin. Jinn and Bin, who populated planet Earth. There were two factions of the same group. They were all from the jinn. Jinn and Bin, they populated planet Earth before us, before mankind. Now what happened was, jinn, they populated planet Earth, they caused a lot of corruption, they were shedding blood, mischief and corruption. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down an army of angels to contain the situation, and to drive away all of these jinn to far away islands, far away places. And from these jinn, this individual Azazil, he was taken up to the heavens. Azazil was taken up to the heavens where he started to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was righteous at that time until the creation of our father Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, which we are going to discuss now inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now decides to create our father Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. He states in Surah Al-Baqarah,
وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
And remember, when your Lord, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, indeed I am going to place on earth a khalifa. We will explain the term khalifa inshallah.
قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ.
The angels, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, are you going to place on earth someone who is going to cause corruption and shed blood? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ, whilst we are there to glorify you, to praise you, وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, and to exalt you.
قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, indeed I know that which you do not know of. Now the angels saying this was not that they were questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that they were questioning the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no. They were instead asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they wanted to know why. They wanted to know why. And how did they know that mankind would shed blood and cause corruption? Because they don't know ilmul ghaib. They don't know the world of the unseen. They said this because of their bad experience with the jinn. They'd already experienced things with the jinn. And they were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to contain the jinn. So they had this fear that now mankind would also follow suit just like the jinn and cause corruption and shed blood. That is why they put forward that question to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah azza wa jal states, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, I know that which you do not know of. Now in regard to khalifa, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ khalifa, some people translate khalifa as representative. Khalifa as representative. Now, you see, representative is someone who fills up for you. Just in case you cannot make it for a particular meeting, or just in case you can't make it somewhere, you send someone on behalf of you. So what does that denote? It denotes your absence. It denotes your absence. Either a partial absence where perhaps you're gone out of the country, you're on a journey, or
a complete absence, where you have passed away. Now, is this possible with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can Allah azza wa jal be absent? And does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have the need to send someone to represent Him? Are we representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. So this is a wrong way of translating the word Khalifa. Instead, what is intended here, Khalifa, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to place, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ Khalifa, wanted to place man on earth, who man in the sense who will follow one after the other, generation after generation, خلائف, generation after generation. One generation after the other, mankind, one generation after the other, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the last man before the day of Qiyamah, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the day of Qiyamah. Another point to be highlighted in this ayah, where the angels say, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكُ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكُ Ya Allah, we are there to glorify you, to exalt you, to praise you. So does that mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs us to glorify Him? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need us to worship Him? He azza wa jal does not need our worship. He says in the noble Quran, Ya ayyuhan nasu antumul fuqara, that O mankind, you are the ones in need. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. You are the ones in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the ones who need Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us. In yasha' yudhibukum wa ya'ti bi khalqin jadid. If He wants, if He wishes, He could destroy you and bring about a new creation. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He can destroy all of us and bring about a new creation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So Allah Azza wa Jal, in the last few minutes that I have, will quickly touch on the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and then wrap off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates Adam alayhi salatu wa salam out of something akin to potter's clay, something similar to clay, potter's clay. Allah Azza wa Jal creates Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. As He states, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّنْ طِينٍ. Remember when your Lord said to the angels, truly I am going to create man from clay. Mintuin, from clay. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, He took a handful of earth, of soil, from this earth, from different parts of this earth. Handfuls of soil from different parts of this earth. And because of that, فَجَاءَ بَنُوا آدَمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. The children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came about just like that. You have the whites, you have the people with a black complexion, white complexion, a complexion between that, a brown complexion, and then you have people who are soft-natured, people who are a bit hard, rigid, harsh. You have different temperaments, you have different types of people who came about because different types of handfuls of earth were taken from all over the place. From all over the place. In another narration, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu states, and this particular narration is a marfu narration, that is said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said this, even though the narration states that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says this, because these are things in regard to the world of the unseen, and it is not possible that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu could say it without hearing it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So he states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam to earth to take the handfuls. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. When he came down to take the qabza, the handfuls of earth, dunya cried out saying, I seek protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't harm me, don't take anything from me. So the minute the earth said that, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reported that. Allah azza wa jal then sent Mika'il alayhi salam, Mika'il alayhi salam to do that. The same thing, to take handfuls of earth. Mika'il alayhi salam, he came down and the earth said the very same thing. I seek protection in Allah, I seek refuge by Allah. Don't harm me, don't take anything from me. Mika'il alayhi salam went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and informed him in that regard. Finally, Allah azza wa jal sent Malakul Maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Malakul Maut to take handfuls of earth and come back. Malakul Maut, he approached earth. The minute he came in, earth cried out once again, I seek refuge in Allah, I seek His protection, don't harm me, don't take anything from me. Malakul Maut said in a very stern voice, I seek refuge in Allah from disobeying him and going back to him without taking what he asked me to take. And he took the handful of earth, not just one handful, he took handfuls of earth from different places. And he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The minute he went back to Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, O Malakul Maut, you will be in charge of taking the souls of mankind. You will be in charge of taking the souls of mankind. Because you need someone who will not show mercy. Who will not show mercy at all. And this is based on the hadith of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So with that, we conclude today's session. Inshallah ta'ala, for tomorrow's session, we will continue the story of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. We covered the beginning of creation. We move on to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and what happened between Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and Iblis. And then we'll move on to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam entering Jannah, Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam, and the story will continue inshallah ta'ala. So until we meet tomorrow, Jazakumullah khair, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.